Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. It is a Sunday night. I am recording this solo, as per usual. I'm going to answer your guys' questions. I have so many questions that I'm not going to be able to get to all of them tonight. So tonight is going to be part one of a two-part thing, answering the questions that you guys left on iTunes. Quick reminder, if you guys leave questions on iTunes in the form of a five-star review, I get to those questions, I answer them, and if you label them, you know, for a question for Pete or whatever, then I will answer, or we will answer them whenever we get a chance. Quick shout out to Himalaya. Quick shout out to all of those shows that keep the lights on. Let's go ahead and dive right in, though. Let's start here. D3DS asks, "Hey Anthony, two questions. One, I see LeBron getting crushed in the media because he seemed to sit at the end of the bench during their loss to the Knicks. People are accusing him of showing a lack of leadership. Do I agree? And then the second part of that question is, who, in your opinion, is better, MJ or LeBron?" That was Clyde Frazier, Walt Frazier, who was taking LeBron to task for sitting at the end of the bench. I think there's some of it is fair. I'm not going to go so far as to say that I agreed with everything that Walt said. I think he comes from an old school kind of thing where stuff like that mattered more than what I this is going to sound bad. NBA players, your favorite professional players aren't friends. They aren't as close as prior generations were. And so this idea of, you know, move down the bench so that you have your spot, like LeBron has a special chair that he has a special pad that he takes with him everywhere, and it helps him sit more comfortably on the bench. And it just so happened in that game that his teammates were sitting far enough away from him where it looked bad. So I think there's something to what Walt was saying, but I also think he made a mountain out of a molehill. In terms of the MJ or LeBron thing, I think they're both really freaking good. I think I would rather have LeBron in his prime over Michael, but it's really close. And also, Kareem is the person who doesn't get enough pub in that conversation. He's, in my opinion, I mean, he won at every level. He is taller than those other guys. So I would probably go LeBron, and then Kareem, and then Michael, I think. We'll see. Next question comes from Dano_Laker. "Great job, guys, on the podcast. Have the Lakers done a terrible job of developing their players into viable three-point shooters? For example, Brandon Ingram was billed as a three-point shooter coming out of Duke, but has regressed in that area since becoming a Laker. Kuzma shot the three ball great as a rookie, but after a summer of spending time with the Laker development coaches, he has shot terribly from three-point land. Josh Hart also." And then so on and so forth. I talked about this in a couple episodes ago, and what it really comes down to is the Lakers as an organization are behind the times a little bit, and as a result, they are, you know, with something like this, with three-point shooting, I don't think they value it enough to provide the tools to make everybody better three-point shooters. And you know, until they catch back up, I think the Lakers are going to continue to struggle in this respect. And the tough part, though, is that it's a mathematical thing. The Lakers need to get better at this because a three-pointer is literally worth more than a two-pointer. Next question comes from, actually, you know what? I'm going to take a quick second here, pay a couple bills, and when we come back, I'm going to answer QBreezy12's question. they want a D'Angelo Russell rant from Pete and I, and then a question about the off season. But I'm going to leave that one for Pete. But when I come back, though, I will continue answering your guys' questions. And like I said, part one of a two-part mailbag episode. All right, so like I said, QBreezy12, I'm going to come back to your question when Pete and I are recording together. So I'm going to move on to Maze8326. Congrats on the house and the baby. Thank you. We find out the gender this week, which is just wild to me. I'm going to be in charge of a human life. But welcome to parenthood. Would you consider it a fail if the Lakers picked up Kemba and Vucevic over the offseason instead of big fish hunting for KD, Kawhi, or Irving? Pete can answer this too. I will run this by Pete, and this is going to be something that Pete and I talk about moving forward until we actually see how the offseason goes. But the analogy I always use is, so in poker, it's not just about winning the hands that that mathematically you're supposed to win. It's about maximizing those hands too, right? So in poker, let's say I get like pocket aces and I go up against pocket kings, I should take everything from that person I'm playing against, right? Because they're going to want to max their bet. I'm going to max my bet. And then if math actually plays out the way it's supposed to, I take a lot of money from the person that I'm betting against, right? If you are to extend that analogy over to the Lakers, the way you look at it as, yes, Kemba would be a win in most off seasons, right? But Kemba would be a win if you still had D'Angelo Russell and you still had Julius Randle. And they don't, though, right? So Kemba's technically a win, but it's not the win it should have been, if that makes sense. Next question here comes from RDHarris81. Setting aside their failure in a dual coach/GM role, what do I think of Tom Thibodeau and Stan Van Gundy as a coach? Going back to simply coaching has worked wonders for Doc Rivers. That's a really good point there. I'm not as big a fan as of Tom Thibodeau. I think his defense got figured out and he never adjusted to the modern NBA. And then the other thing too is like the way that he runs players into the ground, it makes me a little nervous. Stan Van Gundy would be a great hire. I would like that hire. I don't think the Lakers will go down that path, but Stan Van Gundy's better than Tom Thibodeau. I would pretty confidently say that. Money Mike H asks, "What up, Anthony? Let's say Ja Morant falls to the number 3 pick. If you were the Lakers, would you trade Hart their first round pick and maybe a second for Ja Morant? Thanks. Whataburger is better than what? Why are you spreading lies on the internet about Whataburger and In-N-Out? In-N-Out is objectively a better burger. Can we just all agree on that? It's like me going out there and saying, like, you know what? Water is not wet. I can't just say, like, objectively false things on this podcast. It doesn't go well. But anyway, to get back to Ja Morant, I don't think the Lakers will be in a place where they'll be able to draft him. And then the other thing, too, is they are going to trade, I think, this pick that they are going to wind up with, wherever it is. They want more immediate help, and you can get some really good immediate help. And the other thing, too, like I've talked about a while now, is they are more interested in replacing players to make sure that they are properly equipped for playing next to LeBron James, then they are interested in developing players. And if you take a top 10 pick, you then have to develop that player, and I don't think that player is going to match up with the timeline that the Lakers are on right now. So Ja Morant is going to be really, really good. He reminds me of like Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook, like just crazy explosive point guard who needs to learn to shoot a little bit better. I think he's a better passer than at least Rose. Westbrook is a really good passer, but Morant's going to be really good. He just unfortunately is not on the Lakers timeline right now. Next question here comes from LA240825. So first of all, the numbers in my name are indeed Kobe, and 25 is a combo of Eddie Jones, just as Pete had guessed. But my question this week is a hypothetical. Say if LeBron only signed a 1-year deal with the Lakers last summer, do you think he would have come back next season? Thanks, love the show. That's a really good question. It's a really fascinating hypothetical. I don't think he does. Based on some of the stuff that I've kind of heard behind the scenes, it doesn't sound like the front office or ownership is on the same page with LeBron. And you know, we'll see if they all get on the same page this upcoming summer, because they have to. And if they don't get on the same page, we'll see. Like, things are going to get... One thing I'm trying to prepare you guys for is how ugly the leaks are going to get over the next couple years if things don't go to plan. Because you have a lot of people in LeBron and Genie and Magic and Pelinka who are not very good at accepting blame, and there's going to be a ton of blame to go around. So we'll see. Devin Jan asks, hey, I really love loving, well, if you love loving, then that's good too. But hey, I really love listening to you and Pete talk about the Lakers and all things, really. My question is, even though Jason Kidd has had a rough coaching past, do you think he would be good for Lonzo if he is still here, given the comparisons people have made? Him and Magic both giving Lonzo advice could be a good thing. Thanks for taking the time. So here's the thing. All-time great players are almost never all-time great coaches. Like, just name the best coaches of all time, right? Like, Greg Popovich was a thoroughly mediocre to bad player, right? Phil Jackson was a grunt worker on those Knicks that he won a title with. I could keep on going here. Doc Rivers was he was a decent point guard. He was a pretty good player, but he was no like all-timer. Find me the all-timers who are actually good coaches, right? And there aren't very many of them out there, and it's a relatability concern. These guys don't relate very well to players who either A, don't have the talent to think of the game on the way in the way that they do, or the work ethic to get to the levels that all-time great basketball players get to. And you know, for Jason Kidd, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. For Magic, when he was a coach, for Kobe, if he was ever to try coaching, it just wouldn't go very well. And while it makes sense to think that, yeah, Lonzo and Magic and Jason Kidd can sing Kumbaya and figure out the next level of point guard play like that on, you know, if you don't think about it very much, then yeah, sure, it's a great premise, but that's not how it usually goes with all-timers who try to get into coaching. All right, I am going to pay a couple more bills here, and when we come back, I am going to finish off this first first segment of questions, and then tomorrow I'm going to answer the rest of them. Thank you again for all of the questions. They're really good this week, too. All right, so I like burritos. Me too. Asks, of course the Lakers beat the Kings, making their pick worse and making the Celtics offer better. They own the Kings pick. Can you convince me that it makes sense to win when the only regulars who can play and will be back next season are Braun and maybe Kuzma? In my opinion, these games, win or lose, have no effect on next year's team chemistry. So, like, players don't tank. Organizations tank, right? Like, coaches don't even tank. It's not in the way that those guys operate. Their brains don't function at a level where they like care about losing so that they can help the Lakers attain a better pick in, you know, a month or two after they are already fired. So holding it against players for winning doesn't make very much sense. In terms of like the you know, what can the Lakers do? Like, they have Alex Caruso is a two-way player. Jonathan Williams is a two-way player. They have already gone through three 10-day contract type players. Mike Muscala is essentially, like, he's going to be in China next year. So, like, they are doing everything that they can to field a bad roster. It just so happens that the rosters that they're playing against aren't as good as the one that the Lakers have right now. And then, you know, the other thing too is before the Lakers actually ruled him out for the rest of the year, LeBron was out there. So he's going to make you better in and of himself than the vast majority of the teams that the Lakers are competing with for a high draft pick. So it's just that's the hand that the Lakers are dealt right now. Next question comes from JR61194. Do you think they make the playoffs if you only replace Pop and Luke? So swap Luke out for Greg Popovich, but leave everything else, roster, injuries, AD drama, everything. Yeah, I think so. I the thing that like a Greg Popovich does for a team is he gives them just it's a central voice. Coaches, so my thing with coaches in the NBA tend to be that either they lose games for you or they win a bunch of games for you. And then there's like a bunch of middle ground where they just exist, right? And if you swap out Luke, who has not a very good system, his coaching staff is a mess. His rotations were also a mess. Like, if you swap Luke out for Pop, I think you win quite a few more games, no matter how the injuries play out. I'm not even kidding. That's what's wild to think about, but that's how that really goes. Last question here comes from Norm Karnick. Thanks again for doing the show. It's great if anyone reads these reviews. Hopefully it at least pays for a boatload of diapers. I'm going to have to buy a bunch of diapers. On today's mailbag, you wondered if Genie is competitive enough to do a good job owning the team. So if you own the team and got unbelievably lucky winning the Zion sweepstakes, do you immediately trade LeBron for Anthony Davis? No. And has LeBron fallen off enough that New Orleans rejects 2 to 3 years of LeBron for 1 year of Davis? Finally, a suggestion for a future show. I'd like for you, Pete, and Harrison, any others if you like in the Lakers podcast, Justice League, to take the open salary, honest guesses at free agent contracts in the 10th pick and play GM. Just curious how different your rosters will be. For example, would I throw a max at D'Angelo Russell? Does Harrison offer a fellow giraffe McGee a vet min, etc.? That's a fun question. I'll talk to anybody I can as we get into the off season to come on here and we can have a big forum. That'd be kind of fun. In terms of what would I do if I owned the team? So I said something a couple weeks ago that got people all kinds of upset when I said that I actually think I would be a better team president than Magic, or I would be a better GM than Rob Pelinka. And the reason I said that was because I would just hire people to who I would trust to be able to do that job, right? And you know, because this front office has a bunch of hubris, they have not done that, you know. And I think Jeannie is in that kind of same boat too, where it's not that I don't think Jeannie has a bunch of hubris to her. I think by all accounts that you know, in hearing about who she is as a person, she seems very humble, very affable, very just a really nice person. But I think she has a man. I don't want to say this. She trusts the wrong people. I'll put it that way. She was too trusting of Magic Johnson. She was too trusting of Kobe, and by being as trusting of Kobe as she was, that led to the Rob Pelinka hire. So, what Jeannie is going to have to figure out moving forward here is, she's going to have to become a better judge of character and not character, because I think like Magic seems like a really nice guy, really like a good person. He's a hero to millions. So it's not necessarily that she's not a good judge of character. It's that she's not a good judge of talent and what it takes to be successful in this highly competitive industry. It's not that she is not competitive enough either. Like, that has nothing to do with it. The most competitive person that you could find could hire bad people because they trust the wrong people. And I think that's where the Lakers find themselves as a result of whom Jeannie Buss chooses to trust right now. That's just my own personal opinion. I hope I'm wrong, though. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. A little shorter show today just because I split this up into two shows. But thank you guys very much for sending in your questions. Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Shouts to him on it.